In the name of Jesus, who defeated sin and death and the devil for us, dear fellow redeemed. This morning I want to have you think about a question. Over the course of your life, what was the worst fight you ever were involved in? Maybe you went at it with some kid on the playground, just beating at each other. You ended up with a bloody nose and a black eye. Maybe you were in a bar fight and you had your jaw broken in three places. Done that, been there. Not very proud of it. Maybe you were in the military and you were in an actual gunfight. I mean, the bullets are flying. You're fighting for your life. No matter how bad the fight you were once in was, it's not as dangerous as the one you are in right now. Right now, you are in a fight that won't involve broken bones or even lost lives. It's a fight that will determine where your soul spends eternity. And the person you're fighting is not the neighborhood bully or some Muslim terrorist. The person you're fighting is the devil. Scripture puts it this way: our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. St. Peter puts it even more bluntly. He simply says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Every day of our lives, Satan is fighting tooth and nail to lead us into sin and lead us away from God. And if we're honest, we'll admit that too often Satan is winning that battle. But here's the thing. There is someone who has already fought every one of those battles and won all of them. And because he has, he now gives us hope for our future and gives us some tactics that we can employ in our lives in those same battles. Today we turn our attention to Matthew's inspired account of Jesus being tempted in the desert by Satan. And what we want to do today is not unlike what a football coach might do. We're going to kind of scout out the opposition. We're going to kind of watch some game film to see what Satan's tactics were, tactics he still uses today. And we'll see how Jesus countered those with some tactics of his own that we also can employ in our battles against Satan. Our theme for today is simply this: the Son of God goes into battle against Satan and for us. Our text begins, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. In other words, this whole conflict out there in the desert between Jesus and the devil was not only something that God allowed, it's something that God wanted. God, in effect, was saying to Jesus, if you're going to be the Messiah, if you're going to rescue fallen man, well, then you got to beat the guy who's currently holding them all captive. You might say, as the saying goes, if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best. That's what God was setting up Jesus to do. Very early in his ministry, right after his baptism, God sends him out into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And just to make the contest just a little harder for Jesus, God has him fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine how Jesus, as true man, would have been absolutely famished? How weak physically he would have been? Well, it's then that Satan comes to him with the first temptation. The tempter came to Jesus and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." I want you to notice a couple things about Jesus or Satan's tactics here. First tactic, sow seeds of doubt. If you really are the Son of God, if you're really connected to God, if God really loves you, then why does he have you out here starving? God loves you? Satan used the same tactic on us all the time. If God really loves you, then why is your life so hard? How come you've got to just skimp and save just to make ends meet? If God really loves you, why did he have your loved one die? If God really loves you, why are you sick? Satan still uses this tactic to get us to question God's love for us and whether God really cares about us. But he doesn't stop there. His second tactic with Jesus is to tempt Jesus to misuse his authority, misuse his identity. If you really are the Son of God, then turn these stones into bread. In other words, Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, you ought to do something to make your life a little easier, to rescue yourself from this problem you have. Doesn't Satan do the same thing today? He tempts us by saying, if life is too hard, well, then change it. If you don't want to work a whole day, don't. Just goof off at work. Surf the internet. Waste your time. Do what feels good. If your marriage is you're in pain because of your marriage, well, then just leave it. Walk away. God will forgive you. Who's talking there? That's Satan talking. Satan trying to tempt us to take the easy way out, to do what we want to do rather than what God would have us do. One more tactic. Satan here tailors his temptation to fit the target. In other words, he knows where our weaknesses are, right? He did that with Jesus. Jesus, after spending 40 days without food, what does Satan bring as the temptation? Food! It's only natural. Jesus, as a human being, would have been craving food. Satan still does the same thing for us. He knows what temptations are going to work. If you're a 90-year-old grandma, is Satan going to tempt you to stay up all night playing video games? If you're a 16-year-old boy, is he going to tempt you to worry about where your walker is? No, he's going to flip those two because that's how he works. He knows where the chinks in our armor are. He knows how to hit us where we are weak. But when he does that to Jesus, Jesus has a defense. And his defense is God's word. Jesus says to Satan, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In other words, Jesus says, far more important than feeding my stomach with bread is doing what God's will is. In fact, he later tells his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." So, does that defense mechanism that Jesus uses, does that apply to us at all? Absolutely. When Satan comes to us and tempts us to take the easy way out or use our freedom to do what we want, the defense is, go back to God's word and ask, God, what would you have me do? what is your will for my life? Now, of course, Satan doesn't give up quite so easily as that, not for Jesus, not for us. And so he brings a second temptation. And this time he comes to Jesus, in effect, with a Bible under his arm. He takes Jesus to the top of the temple, and he says to him, "If you are the Son of God," notice again those seeds of doubt, "if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For, Jesus, it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in your hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." In other words, Satan is saying what? Jesus, if you really trust God, then prove it. Throw yourself down. God says, God made a promise, he'll protect you. Satan used that tactic on us all the time. Satan comes and says, "Oh, God will protect you. Go ahead, have a couple more beers before you get behind the wheel. God says, don't worry about tomorrow, so put it on the credit card. You don't need to pay your bills. You don't need to get a job. God will take care of you." How does Jesus counter that temptation? He counters that misuse of Scripture by pointing to a passage that really does apply to the situation that Satan was proposing. Jesus says, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." That's really a reference to something that happened in the children of Israel. They were in the desert, and God had promised them that he would take care of them, but they did not want to wait for that. They didn't want to trust God that God would provide. They demanded that God do a miracle for them and their timetable. Isn't that exactly what Satan was tempting Jesus with? To jump off the temple and demand that God do a miracle to protect him from certain death. That's not trusting God. That's testing God. And that's a sin. There's one more temptation that Satan uses against Jesus. He shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world, all the wealth, and he says what? "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." Does Satan use that with us? You bet he does. Only Satan doesn't have to show us all the kingdoms of the world. No, he can offer us much less than that. He can offer us an extra hour of sleep on Sunday morning instead of going to church. He can offer us a little fantasy on the internet. He can offer us the satisfaction of putting somebody in their place and not forgiving them, but holding a grudge. All of which is simply putting Satan ahead of God. It's serving Satan instead of God, which is why Jesus says to Satan, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Do you see what all of Jesus' tactics have in common? Every time it's, "This is what the Lord says." Because he recognizes that this is the most powerful weapon known to man. Isn't that what St. Paul said? He called it the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But like any weapon, to use it effectively, you need to know how to use it. Right? I sometimes think that owning a Bible is a little like owning a firearm, a handgun. If you own a handgun and you never have used it, you're kind of afraid of it, you never touch it, well then when you really need it because somebody's threatening you, chances are it's going to do more harm than good. So is Scripture. On the other hand, if you handle this, if you get used to using it, if you study it, maybe take some lessons on it, then it's when the enemy attacks, you'll be able to use it to defend yourself. The point is this: know your Scriptures. Whether that's by reading them on your own, or listening them on your phone in an app where they give you a little reading each day, or by discussing Scripture in a Bible study or a life group, or listening to a sermon and then picking up one of the life guides and discussing it more with your family. All of these gets us familiar with this book so that God can equip us for the battles that we are up against, so that we can overcome those temptations just like Jesus did. And yet I have to say that the real lesson with this account is not simply do what Jesus did. Use Scripture to fight Satan. I'm not saying that's not good advice. That's great advice. That's God-pleasing advice. But let's recognize that no matter how well you know Scripture, no matter how often you apply it, no matter how many times you pray to God to say no to sin, you're not always going to do that. You're going to fail. You're going to fall into that same sin again. It's going to fill your heart with shame and guilt. But when that happens, I want you to look back to this account, not to see what you should have done better, but to see what Jesus did perfectly. Jesus overcame every single temptation, not just there in the desert, but throughout his life. Scripture says, Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And the reason he did that, the reason he said no to every single temptation, the reason he lived a perfect life, is so that God could give that perfection to you as a free gift. Through faith in Jesus Christ, God now sees you as perfect, as overcoming every temptation. In fact, God looks at you and he sees Jesus. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You realize what that means? It means that the victory that Jesus won there in the desert and on the cross and out of the grave is now yours. In Jesus, you've defeated Satan. That victory is yours. And that means that when Satan comes whispering in your ear, you can say, Satan, you can't tell me what to do. You're not my boss. You're not my Lord. Jesus is. In fact, Satan, I'm going to say to you the same thing that Jesus said to you in the desert. I'm saying to you right here and now, away from me, Satan. And then he must go. For Scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. My friends, you can be sure until the day you die that you will be in a battle against Satan. But when it comes to the war, I mean the final outcome, Jesus has already won the war against Satan for you. Believe it and live it. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.